Can't believe it's not Neocest, featuring the Ginsect. Written by Neeraj Sikki. Read by Opal Song. Fandom, Mo Dao Zhu Shi. Rating, teen. Relationships, Jen, but implied, Nia Mengtre, Nia Hoi Song. The first time Jing Guangshan mentioned it, Jing Guangyao felt a great surge of relief. At last, he thought. At last someone else that isn't me notices it. The Nia brothers are, indeed, remarkably close, he said neutrally, pretending towards indifference, and managed not to smile when his father slammed down the jar of wine he'd been drinking. Close? He spluttered. Close? I've been less close to some of my whores. Jing Guangyao chose to ignore that. They're always hanging all over each other, Jing Guangshan said, lips twisting into a sneer. Always whispering in each other's ears the way they do, practically sitting in each other's laps. Really, it's absurd that more people don't comment on it. I mean, they're half-brothers. Even if they were full brothers, they wouldn't need to be touching each other that often. It's as if they think the rest of us are blind and can't figure out what's going on.
Perhaps they think it's acceptable because they're half-brothers, Jing Guangyao suggested. There are those that say it's only a matter of showing the world that their relationship cannot be divided.
Ridiculous! No one needs to be that close to their brother. You don't know how many times I've seen them. Letting their hands linger on each other's shoulders, looking at each other through lowered lashes, standing so near they might as well be rubbing up on each other.
Disgusting,
Jin Zixin agreed, and Jing Guangyao was reminded once again of his presence. He was drunk again, of course, and Jing Guangyao had thought he'd passed out already. Apparently not.
Just disgusting. Disgusting.
Personally, Jing Guangyao didn't think it was disgusting at all. Nia Mengtre was tall and broad-shouldered, a mountain of a man, while Nia Huaisong was a soft little thing, two heads shorter and completely lacking his brother's musculature. Nia Mengtre could, and had, swept him up in his arms before, lifting him easily, throwing him over his shoulder like an unruly sack of grain. Those two contrasting physiques were enthralling enough, but when paired with their faces that had so many points of similarity, adding the delicious piquancy of the forbidden, delicious. And if he had to guess from the slightly glassy-eyed expression on his father's face, Jing Guangyao would be willing to wager that Jing Guangshan thought the same as him.
Ah, Yao, his father said, turning to him. You were his deputy once, weren't you? Did you happen to see?
Most of my service to the Nia sect was during the war in Heijian. I did not have the chance to see the two of them interacting more than a few times, Jing Guangyao said with real regret. But there were a few instances that seemed, admittedly, a little suggestive.
Tell me, Jing Guangshan demanded, leaning forward. Tell me about them.
Ugh, why? Jin Zixin said, and let out a burp. Why should we let that filth dirty our ears?
Naturally, Father only wishes to have complete knowledge in order to better plan our sect's strategy,
Jing Guangyao interjected smoothly, and watched how his father's face, turning red with rage,
relaxed into a regular color once more. After all, there are many ways that such a secret can be used. He didn't actually believe that was Jingguangshan's motive. The man might have some cunning, as well as a vicious ruthlessness to use the tools he had at hand to his own advantage, but he had the long-term strategic sense of a toad. But it allowed Jingguangshan to save face and still get the titillation he wanted. The more times that Jingguangyao proved his usefulness in this regard, the more Jingguangshan would rely on him. The more he relied on him, the more influence Jingguangyao would have. At least Jin Zixuan wasn't at the present meeting, too busy paying court to his intended bride. He was an unbearable prude of the variety termed romantic. Unwilling to joke around or speculate about others, and rarely willing to indulge in any vice himself. Personally, Jingguangyao thought that he was just too afraid of his nasty shrew of a mother to have any fun. "It's exactly as Ayao said," Jingguangshan said with some thin facade of dignity, tossed over his shamelessness like a robe put on after rutting with a prostitute all night. "Tell me the details, then." Jingguangyao sketched out the incidents he'd seen, Nia Mingchue holding Nia Huaisong in his arms for rather a long time, after having not seen him for only a mere few months, leaning down with his head to nuzzle their heads together, and even pressing his lips to his forehead in a seemingly paternal manner. "I bet that's something they like," Jingguangshan scoffed. Moreover, Nia Mingchue had then declared that Nia Huaisong was filthy from his travels, despite the younger man being no more sullied than the rest of them, and had dragged him away so that he might bathe and recuperate. Nia Huaisong had pretended to complain the whole time, but he'd looked delighted by the reception, just as he'd looked positively smug when Nia Mingchue had been scolding him for failing to practice his saber or learn any scriptures, even as he piled food into his bowl at dinner. "He must make it up to him in some other fashion," Jin Zixin said with a sneer, and Jingguangshan licked his lips in agreement. Jingguangyao couldn't help but agree. It did certainly make for quite the mental image, didn't it? Still, he kept the best for last. That Nia Huaisong had been apportioned a tent very close by to the sect leaders was, of course, natural. But Jingguangyao had come over very early in the morning. Very early. And he had seen a sleep-tussled Nia Huaisong clamoring out of the wrong tent. "I knew it!" Jingguangshan hissed. "Dirty bastards, both of them. Ah, Yao, there must be some way we can use this against them. Some sort of stratagem." "Sadly, I cannot think of any," Jingguangyao said, and again his regret was real. "Look how obvious they are. They clearly have no fear of revelation, no concern. It's hard to prove, anyway. Even if we spread rumors, Nia Mingchue would just laugh at them, robbing them of their use, and imply that we were the ones being untoward and seeing something that wasn't there." Certainly, Nia Mingchue hadn't even blinked when Jingguangyao had obliquely referenced the matter later, shrugging and saying something vague about thunderstorms and nightmares, as if Nia Huaisong were a child crawling into his parents' bed for protection. And Nia Huaisong had chirpingly parroted a similar story when Jingguangyao had made a comment to him later. They must have gotten very used to covering up their behavior, planned out their excuses in advance. It was annoying to find that there was one area in his life where Nia Mingchue was actually good enough at scheming to block others out. "A pity," Jingguangshan muttered. "Truly a pity. We'll have to think of something else, then." Yes, Jingguangyao supposed they would. The end. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback, both for myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!